Morning, everybody. So I was trying to come up with something for this week. Pretty much all week my mind was blank. Yesterday for a while in the morning my mind was blank. Woke up yesterday morning and when I opened Facebook, I seen about Eric, which I just stumbled across him a couple weeks ago, and found it intriguing. His business meetings or whatever he have in the morning, sometimes he'd have clips of them on Facebook, and he'd be basically preaching a sermon to his employees about what it means to be a Christian, being a Christian business leader and everything. And then yesterday morning I seen that he was dead. I just called Mark Stolzfus this week to line up for choir programs, so I talked to him Wednesday, I think it was, and he's gone. And it seems like everywhere you turn, something's happening. There's another guy had a roof fall on him this week, and he's in the hospital now. So it seems like you might not know the people, but there's connections here and there, and stuff happens, life moves on. So my mind settled on Psalms 23, and I think everybody knows the psalm. How many people here could recite it by memory? But how many people actually know the psalm? What's a psalm actually mean? Is it something we memorized as a child? Well, Psalms 23, and we can rattle it off, and that's all the more it goes. Or when we look at it, is it something that actually can mean something to us? So I'll read down over here and try to pull some thoughts out of it. And if you look at some of the chapters surrounding Psalms 23, it seems like in David's life it was in the midst of turmoil, and this is a little section in the middle of it of peace. And then he continues on with his struggles. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You look at verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. It doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd, the Lord is your shepherd. It says the Lord is my shepherd. That makes it personal. The question is, do you make him your shepherd? You've chosen to follow him, you've chosen to be a Christian, but do you each and every day seek to follow your shepherd? Or, like a sheep, later it talks about, or there's other, later in the chapter it talks about how a shepherd restores a sheep. But do we each and every day endeavor to follow the Lord as our shepherd? Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The thought of making me lie down in green pastures gives a thought of we weren't just walking along and found a spot with about six little nice clumps of grass. and what this will do for the day. Hopefully this is enough to feed the sheep. We're looking for the best pasture for the day. And here's the pasture we found, and this is where we are for the day. It's not where he gives us enough so we don't starve and die. He gives us enough that we have all that we need. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It's not a stagnant cesspool of a pond that has nothing flowing into it, flowing out of it, and it's just a mosquito-infested water with no life in it that stinks. It's also not raging floodwaters that are dangerous, or the ocean, salty, whatever, but still waters, a nice, calm, flowing stream that is a continuous supply of fresh water, something that restores and rejuvenates and quenches your thirst, not something that leaves you wanting more. Chapter that I found go along with verse 2, Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord, the righteousness from God of his from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Verse 5 would be the one that would directly tie into verse 2. But you go look at verse 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Someone that is allowing the Lord to be their shepherd. Someone that is following the Lord, allowing him to guide them. Whenever God leads us to a green pasture, are we content in that green pasture where he's led us? Or do we tend to act like a goat where there's nice green grass in front of us, we go around the edges nibbling on the thorns? And we're never satisfied because we don't actually get our fill of what God has in front of us. We're always nibbling on the things around us that we think look more fulfilling. And then whenever we wonder why, maybe it's because we haven't actually accepted what God has laid in front of us. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. When you think of a shepherd, he can have the famous 100 sheep, 99 in the fold, one gone astray. He restoreth my soul. That has the meaning or the idea of that one sheep that's gone astray. He has all 99 there. They're safe. He's not worried about them right now. It's the one that's gone. He restoreth my soul. He goes looking for that one that has got lost, has tried to take its own way. And from what they say, a sheep can be pretty stupid. They'll wander off, and it's not like they have any GPS built into them to come back to where they went to, came from. They'll just off through wherever they are. And so to be a shepherd, you have to be okay with searching over hills and valleys and whatever to find that one sheep, because it's going to keep wandering until you find it. And we can be the same way sometimes, where we go wandering off and we wonder, why don't we feel connected? Is it because in our own personal lives we don't actually have our GPS pointed back toward the shepherd, and so we're out wandering looking for him, but we don't actually know what we're looking for because we've never made that connection with the shepherd that we should have? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That gives the idea of he's leading us in the path that he has laid for us, path of his righteousness for his name's sake. We're not walking down a path for our honor and our glory. We're walking down a path for his name's sake. So as he's leading us, he restores us. It's not for our benefit. It's for his benefit as a shepherd. We're here for him. If a shepherd didn't have any sheep, he wouldn't be a shepherd anymore. Because to be a shepherd, you need sheep. So are we allowing him to restore our soul and lead us in his path of righteousness for his name's sake? And we get to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For some reason, this verse is the one out of the whole chapter that sticks out to me the most. Maybe it's because I feel like I'm the one walking through the valley of the shadow of death more than I am beside the green pastures and still streams. But verse 4 goes to Psalms 22. And this is a plea of David pleading for God's presence. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou dost deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he who took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan, who have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. None shall keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. You look at the first 21 verses of chapter 22, and you get the feeling of desperation. There ain't really much positive, it seems, in that. It's a feeling of utter hopelessness, and you don't have anywhere to turn. And everybody around you that you turn to, it doesn't really seem like David had much encouragement around him. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. It kind of gives a picture of nothing's really held together anymore. And you pour out water. The water can't put itself back in a bucket. Your bones are out of joint. It's kind of hard to set them back in joint yourself. Heart is like wax. Well, through the heat of things, wax melts. And it's only by coming back to God and allowing him to put us back together that we can find fulfillment in that. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It doesn't say, yea, though I wander through the valley of the shadow of death. Wandering with the idea of not really a purpose. But yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death. It's passing through. It's on a trail. And sheep can have the tendency of seeing a shadow and trying to stay away from the shadow because they don't trust it. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's with the shepherd's rod and staff that when the sheep gets scared of that shadow they're passing through, the shepherd can bump them back in and say and give them the encouragement, yes, this is the right path and you're still safe. And something else you might notice is it says the shadow of death. If I hold my hand up and it puts a shadow on your face, that shadow doesn't hurt your face. It's only if I slap your face with my hand that it hurts. If I have a sword and it puts a shadow, the shadow of the sword doesn't kill you. It's actually the sword that kills you. So, it might feel like you're going through the shadow, a shadow of something. But still, it's only a shadow. A shadow isn't going to hurt you. It's only what the shadow is of. And if you allow the shadow to scare you, you're living in fear of something that isn't actually something to be scared of. Because shadow won't hurt you. It's actually the thing that's casting the shadow is what can hurt you. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So you think of coming to the end of your life, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's only a shadow of death. Because if you're a Christian living for Christ, Death isn't something to be scared of. It's merely a valley of a shadow passing from here on through. As Phil Robertson said, he said, it's just a change of address. He said, it's nothing to be scared of. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the valley also is a place where growth happens. You can be going down through a valley and there's a lot of trees, but you'll come to a meadow and you can find some of the nicest grass sometimes in the valley, and it might even be by a peaceful stream. Verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Thou preparest a table. And when you prepare a table, normally you're preparing a table with something that you have on hand. So, if you're setting up for company, company's coming over, you're preparing a table. You're going to your cupboard, your freezer, or whatever. You're getting supplies that you have and preparing the table. You're not waiting for them to show up and then seeing if somebody comes knocking on your door to give you something. It gives the idea that what God is giving you and preparing for you is something He has and He's giving it to you. It's not something that He doesn't have and He's hoping that He can find it somewhere to benefit you in life. It's something that God has. He's giving it to you. And at the end of the verse, my cup runneth over, He's giving you more than you need. So that as He gives you more than you need, when you fill a cup to where it overflows and it runs over and it runs out on the things around it. So if God is giving you more than you need and your cup's running over, is that running over on those around you and helping them, building them up? Verse 6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How about surely goodness and mercy is following me? Are we allowing it to follow me all the days of my life, and it'll continue to follow me as I pass out of this life and on into the next one, in dwelling in the house of the Lord forever? Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, where I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When Thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me, put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not alone, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you look back across the chapter, and verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside still waters. It gives a picture of life's going pretty good right now. And I got all that I need and more than I need. It's peaceful. It's restful. And verse 3, He restoreth my soul. I've wandered. He brought me back. He's leading me in His path. In verse 4, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm coming to the end of my life. It's a valley I'm walking through. But there's nothing to fear, because as I pass through the shadow, He's there. He's guiding me through it, and He'll bring me out the other side. And verse 5, He's preparing a table before me. Yes, I have enemies around me, and they are trying to tear at me, get me down. But He has this all prepared in front of me. And it comes down to, it's a matter of choice. God has His whole banquet table in front of you. Are you focused on what He's offering you, or are you focused on what's behind you? Your enemy's jeering at you, saying, oh, you're never good enough because of all this. When it's all laid in front of you, what God has offering to offer you. And in spite of all the trials and tribulations of life, at the end of your life, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You get to the end of your life, you've been through all the ups and downs, the good times, bad times, everything in life, and you get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, I'm going to read over the chapter one more time. Hopefully it means a little bit more now than at the beginning. And whenever you read over it, make it personal. Put your name in there. Wherever it says my, think of yourself, your name. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is Jaron's shepherd. The Lord is Bentley's shepherd. The Lord is Nick's shepherd. Make it personal with yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you.